The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' The rich man said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. One Sunday morning, before COVID, BC, as it were, I was making my way from my home to Jerusalem's old city. And just before the train stopped, I checked my phone and saw there was an alert, a security alert, telling me there had been a stabbing near Damascus Gate, which was my intended stop. This was during the time that locals called the Stabbing Intifada, a time when young men from occupied Palestine were coming across the borders into Israel proper and attacking anyone who seemed visibly Jewish. Depending on who you talk to, it was a time of awful violence, or it was a time of brave resistance, or both. For me, mostly what I knew is that it was a time of great fear. From the alerts on my phone, I knew that I wasn't going to be able to go from my regular route through Damascus Gate, so I walked up the street to Newgate, and there I still encountered a wall of guards and questions and guns, but finally they let me through due to my black shirt and white collar. And we did have church that Sunday morning, although there were only 12 of us. 12 of us gathered around the table to share the bread and the wine and to hear the good news. On my way home, I stopped to see a friend of mine named George. He ran the Armenian pottery shop near Newgate. And I told him, "There were only 12 people in church today, George." Now, George, who is Armenian, whose community came to Jerusalem in the midst of a genocide, who was sitting in a city that had seen multiple occupations, a city that's home to another great community who faced a genocide, a city which is still the center of an ongoing military conflict, George just looked at me and held up the blank white bowl that he had, and he said, "Oh, don't worry about your ministry, Pastor. The first 100 years are always the hardest." I said, "The first 100 years? So here I am standing on this day, on the day in which I am about to be installed as the next pastor of University Lutheran Church in Harvard Square, and I'm aware that many theological and pastoral giants have preceded me. Some of them were bishops, And some of them published books and preached sermons and taught at that nearby university. Some also have been artists and bread bakers and shelter volunteers and ushers and interns and building managers. For almost 100 years, this community has been praising God and sharing the good news in this place through word and deed, through many and various ways and many and various people. Thanks be to God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But here we are now. Here we are today. And I imagine us on this day holding a blank white bowl like my friend George was that day, ready to be painted in fabulous colors. We aren't holding the bowl, we are the bowl. And we might have some cracks and some chips. And we might not be exactly perfect, but we are ready for God to do with us as God will. For those of us with control issues, this is a little bit scary, I have to say. What will we look like? What will happen? What will the next chapter be? Don't worry though, as George said, the first 100 years were the hardest. So we're ready. It's not going to be a problem. Now, in the gospel text that we heard today, I hear Jesus speaking to the disciples and getting them to also think about time and the future and change. I wish that in scripture we often had the background to these parables. I wish that we knew what Jesus was talking to the disciples about or what they were complaining about before he told these stories. We have to imagine, though, because we don't know exactly. I think that just before Jesus told this one, the disciples were saying something like, "Isn't it good that we made the right choice? Isn't it good that we are the brave ones? Isn't it good that we're the influencers of the first century? We know what to do. Here we are. We're the good ones. Here's the recipe. Watch and subscribe and follow if you like it." And Jesus said to them, by way of warning, or perhaps by way of invitation, there was a rich man and there was Lazarus. And Lazarus was sitting outside the gate of the rich man, just begging for crumbs. But after they died, Lazarus was hanging out with Abraham in the afterlife, and the rich man was tormented. And try as he might, he couldn't change anything anymore. A chasm, scripture says, was fixed. It was fixed between them. It was too late. Now, when I read this, I think of all of the situations in our world that we talk about and worry about, often in the abstract. Climate change, poverty, healthcare, education, homelessness, mental health. Most of us are aware that we should think about these things and should worry about them. But most of us also, who are gathered here today, possess enough privilege that we can at least sidestep those issues most days. Most days we don't have to think about it very much until we lose health insurance, until our child is mentally unwell, until Mary is living outside our church door, until the day when Lazarus is at our gate and we must contend with not only his situation, but our shared reality. Most of us don't have to think about it that hard. I find it interesting that in this parable, the only two names that we are given are Abraham and Lazarus. The rich man doesn't have a name in this story. And I think we pay attention to that. We should pay attention because that tells us, where does God want us to focus in this story? God wants us to focus on Lazarus. Lazarus, who has a name. This story is a warning to us. It's also an invitation. Jesus says to the disciples that day and to the disciples here in this place now, "You have the law and the prophets. Before I was, the story was. Before I was among you, the prophets were among you. As it is written, I have come not to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. God has not changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God is and always will be love and love and more love. We, as followers of Jesus, have come to know that love through the life and teachings, through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And as followers of Jesus today, we are hearing that same love, the same prophets, the same message through the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is saying to us, listen, hear my voice. Hear the voice of the prophets before me. Hear the cries of our neighbors. Hear the Lazaruses of the world today. Listen, receive the message, and live. The rich man said to Jesus, would you please just go to my brothers and tell them, because they need to hear the message. And Abraham said, they've already heard. I mean, what more do I have to do? He said, well, if someone would just die and rise from the dead, then they'll listen. And I want to say to us today, is that true? Because that already happened. Are we listening? Have we heard? When is the time? When is the time to live? When is the time to love? When is the time to be free? When is the time for economic justice? When is the time for mercy? When is the time to fight the good fight? And God says, she tells us all the time, today, right now, now is the time. In the words of our brother Martin Luther, how soon not now becomes never. It's scary to change. Sometimes it's scary just to live in the world. But I think again of the words of my friend George, who had seen so much in his life. The first 100 years are the hardest. What are we worried about? We're not doing this alone, friends, because we are surrounded by the saints of old. We're surrounded by Abraham and the prophets. As we walk into a new year, a new adventure, a new challenge. We are walking with Abraham and Lazarus and all of the saints that we have known and loved, all of those who have taught us already the heart of God. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen.